beloved congregation, the hour of our death that is a serious one, because that is the hour that we have to depart out of this world and to enter into eternity. And we read in Ecclesiastes 11, where the tree falls, there it shall lay, in the north or in the south. There is no more changing at all in our condition. This hour, this evening, an hour of preparation for the Lord's Supper, that is also a serious one, very serious. And it is for a special reason that we have a preparation sermon that is not for the sacrament of baptism, but well for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Is there then so much difference in those sacraments? Not in regard to the essence. That is the same. But otherwise, there is a difference where in baptism the parents take upon himself the responsibility to bring up the children and to answer the different questions. But with the Lord's Supper, that is a personal matter. And we read even in the Old Testament that all the time, every year, when Israel had to pass over, then they have also needed a preparation. They have to purify himself. There were several circumstances in regard to the Passover that they have to obey the commandments of the Lord. You know that we find that in Exodus, especially in Exodus 12. And in the New Testament, in regard to the Lord's Supper, then Paul, he wrote to the congregation of Corinth, let every man examine himself, every man, whether that we have a right to partake the Lord's Supper. We can well have a church right, but a church right that is not a divine right. And of course the Lord knows our heart and the secrets within. For myself, I was bothering with it the last days, that I have to come to you this evening, and if the Lord will spare us also the next Sabbath day. Well, concerned about you, but more about myself. And you would maybe say, why more about yourself? Maybe you have realized why that I am concerned about myself. Because I am the one that have to administer in your midst that holy sacrament. And I am standing in that respect between the Lord and you. And the time is coming, and maybe quick, that I have to give an account before the judgment seat how that I have preached and in what manner that I have administered also that holy sacrament amongst you. You read that by the prophet Ezekiel, that the Lord declared unto that man that one day that the Lord would require his blood from that man. And it is a serious matter. Serious. The Lord, he knows our heart and the secrets within. But there are in the times in which we are living so many question marks. Question marks also in regard to the Lord's Supper. Is it so different than that it was years before? Is the Lord changeable? No. No. But that fear filled our heart time and again. You can imagine it. Because we have to know something. And I emphasize that to you the last time and with prayer day too. If we placed the Lord's Supper before Christ, then we are wrong. Really, then we are wrong. Christ has to come in the first place. And his ordinances and what he has instituted, that is following him. But not first the Lord's Supper and then Christ. And what shall it profit, congregation? What shall it profit if we deceive our soul for eternity? Smite out, he said in a sermon, he advised the congregation think much about the day of death. And if I look in the congregation now, then most of them with whom we started 28 years ago, most of the people that is gone, it is now another congregation, except some older ones. But in general, it is a different congregation. And if I think about the concern that there was many times also amongst them who we have known here in Kalamazoo and have buried and talked with them so many times, then the question come up, is it now so much easier for the people than that it was in those days? I think not so. It is still serious. And we have to realize that. You know, There is people also amongst us, ook sinds de last time that we have asked what there have taken place, what has happened in their life, what were the reason that they have freedom and that people know it for themselves, I say not all, but in these people here that know that it is a riddle for them still. And we read in the word of God about Mordecai, that men that lay before the gates of the palace of the king, as long until that time that that edict was proclaimed out of the palace about the freedom and the liberty that the Lord had given for the people of Israel. And it is true, on one side, we have to come with nothing. We have to come with empty hands. But then I tell you that we have also to know something, how that the Lord had emptied our hands. We have to tell that too, and to know that. But let I go no further in that respect. It is my intention this evening, with the help of the Lord, any regard to the welfare of your soul, created for eternity, to say some words this evening about that text that you find in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the first part. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This far. In the first place this evening, I would say something about faith. Hellenbroek, on the basis of the word of God, he speaks about four kinds of faith. Historical, temporary, miraculous, and a saving faith. An historical faith is, as he said, a bare assent to know truth. And it is such a kind of faith which is necessary but not sufficient. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well, the devils also believe and tremble. And I would add to that what Brakel had taught us in his reasonable service about historical faith. He had faced the church, the older in the visible church, he had faced the visible church, and it is all the people that you see before your eyes in the church, to fill your mind with historical knowledge. That it was his advice. And then he said, if it once pleased the Lord to convert you, then the Holy Spirit will use it, that historical faith. That historical faith that is really necessary. However, it is not sufficient, it is not enough for eternity, but What is the cause, the reason that there are coming up in the churches so many S? The lack of historical knowledge. And it is too bad that some people, when they are even so young, I have the same trouble in my own congregation, same trouble, that when they are 17 years old, then they think it is all enough, that they no more come to the catechism classes. And to most of them, you can talk and talk, but they say no, this time. But alas, there is well time to spend in the world. And it is a very good idea to spread our old riders, especially amongst the people. But we have to use them. Because he can well buy him, but give yourself time to search the scriptures, but also our writers, because the Lord had given us such a treasure that we cannot enough appreciate what the Lord had given to our fathers. I think many times, even yesterday and this week, when I was trying to make a sermon, and then I found in some writer expressions of Melanchthon, I found expressions also by Bishop Ryle, he used them also many times, expressions of Augustine. And in what college you will come, forgive that I say that all this evening, but in what kind of colleges that you will come also in this country, you shall find the works of Augustine. He was 39 years when he started his work in the church. And he served the church 39 years too. And he wrote 39 books. 39. And there are still at the present time of him 2,000 sermons in Latin. Some professor is busy to translate parts of his sermons. I have also some of it in my library. And really, he was not a perfect man. I am not perfect, and there is no one perfect. But still you are astonished about the light that the Lord had given to that man. I was now reading yesterday some piece of him about the coming of men in the world and the departure of men out of the world. And only few sentences about coming in the world and a sentence about leaving the world. And so much that man said in few words, that it is so worthy, congregation, so worthy to search those works, really. But of course, a characteristic of historical knowledge that is, that it is in our head, in our mind. And saving faith that is wrought in the heart of God's people. Thus now our head cannot be filled with outwardly historical knowledge, But it touched not our heart, and that is necessary. Now, there is a temporary faith, and that is an assent to and profession of the truth for a time with some external satisfaction. You read that in Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. And a temporary faith that goes further than an historical faith. Because a temporary faith that touched the emotions of men, that warmed us up to a certain extent, that people that accept the truth with joy and gladness, with God's people it starts with sorrow and with regret, but not with a temporary faith that is so on the top of the mountain. But you read in Mark 4 verse 17 that temporary faith that had no root. And when persecution is coming, and so many other things coming up in the world, then it is all gone and it is all done. Then there is a faith of miracles, a strong persuasion that a miracle will be performed either by or on us. But is a characteristic of a miraculous faith that appeals more to the power of God than to the grace of God. Because that goes about outwardly things. And there can happen many outwardly things in our life, people. But when death comes, that falls all away. Therefore, saving faith, that is necessary above everything. And that consists in knowledge, assent, and trust. That is saving faith. Saving faith, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of God's people. You read about that saving faith that it purified the heart of a sinner, that it justified a sinner without the works of the law. And it is also working through love. And you know 1 Corinthians 13, that Paul declares what there can be in our life. But if there is no love in our heart, then we are missing the things necessary to be reconciled with God. We have to realize, people, that faith is a gift of the Lord. You know, the Lord, he said, I gave some examples this evening. The Lord, he said in Isaiah 45, look unto me. In Matthew 11, verse 28, then he said, come unto me. And in Philippians 3, verse 9, I mention only a few things this evening, because it's but a little time that we are together. But I will say some things that you can take with you in this evening to your home and to consider about those necessary things. And then in Philippians 3 verse 9, there Paul speaks about the desire to be found in Christ. And if you now think, congregation, about those three things, look unto me. That means that there is only one place and one person that we can find it. It is not in us. It is not in us. In us, congregation, and I cannot say that in verse this evening, but I hope that the Lord penetrated the heart. In us there is totally nothing that ever can please the Lord. With ourselves, people, I hope that I can say it in a simple way and out of my heart. But in ourselves, if there is something of the Lord wrought in our heart, then we come to the conclusion that with ourselves that it is nothing else as a great disappointment. That's all that it is, people. Paul, he said, I know that is in me, that there is not one good thing. And it is true, oh, it is true, people, that we don't now learn everything in one day. Oh, no. I will not make such big steps this evening. But I will start with you by the beginning. To instruct you that you shall examine yourself before the Lord, whether that we have a right to partake the Lord's Supper. In the first place, we need in our hearts a persuasion that we are wretched, that we are condemned, that we are helpless by nature. And that is what the Lord is working in the heart of his people. And that is standing congregation on the foreground. Let I say it in another manner. The Lord start not with heaven, but the Lord he start with hell. Three things said our catechism are necessary. First, how great our sins and our miseries are. Did you ever hear a man that was regenerated by the Holy Spirit? That immediately that man that he was so glad that he said, now I go to heaven and I am happy. No. The Lord, he said in Jeremiah 3 verse 14 only, acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast sinned against the Lord. There is start with. Regenerating congregation, that is the first thing. The first thing. And the second thing, that spirit, when that comes, that he reproves us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He placed us as a sinner before us, before him. When the Lord came to that woman in Samaria, John 4, that the Lord, he asked that woman for a drink. Did she realize anything about Christ? No. And you? She said, how is it possible that you, who are you, that you ask the Samaritan woman for a drink? You know, you must well know, and you know, the separation that lay between us and you for years already. She did understand nothing. No, nothing. Oh, nothing, people. And oh, from the bottom of my heart, really, oh, from the bottom of my heart, I hope that you are realizing that what I speak to you, that it is the truth. That it is the truth for 100%. We know nothing. No. We don't know ourselves. We don't know our state and our condition. We are totally, totally blind people. Totally blind. But then the Lord, he said to that woman, call your husband. Hey. Call your husband. And did she immediately became a sinner before the Lord? No. She said, I have no husband. I have no husband. Guilt and sin, that is such an awful animal that nobody desired to have in his house. Nope, no one desired it. It took for David about a year before that he came to that place, against thee I have sinned and done what is evil in thy holy sight. But when that Nathan came in the name of the Lord, and the Lord go with Nathan. Yeah, yeah. The Lord go with that man. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. And when then that Nathan said, thou art that man, thou art that man. Then he fell on the ground, yeah. And it is, oh, maybe well, more than 45 years ago. But I never forget that I visited an old child of God, friend of me, in some place. And that woman that was sitting in the kitchen that morning, crying. And she knew that God was her father. So far the Lord had led her. She knew that the Lord was her father. And I say to that woman, what is the reason that you are crying? Oh, she said to me, was in the Netherlands, she said, I would well give 1,000 gulden if I could come as on a place where I was here before, that I was a sinner before the Lord. That I could come as to this place. And she was crying so hard. Oh, I thought, woman, I think you are there, Eddie. You are there, really. But, oh, congregation, from the beginning to the end, it is the work of the Lord. Really. We can't, and responsibility I will not deny, no. No. That responsibility that lay there, look unto me, come unto me. That lay there from the side of the Lord. But I cannot bring one tear in my eye of true repentance, people. No. Not one tear. If the Lord give it, then it is there. Then it is there. And most of the time, the Lord is a surprising God. And now you know, congregation, We have preached so many times in your midst and so many years. I never have preached to you that our tears are the foundation of our salvation. Well, Christ and Him crucified. But it shall never go without tears. Those that sow the tears, that shall reap it joy. This congregation, ask now your heart. Examine yourself, said the text. Examine yourself, yourselves. Prove your own selves. Whether that there was a time and times in your life that there was a godly sorrow over your sins. Not a sorrow that you say, I have to go to hell. No. That is all the result of sin. But that we have sinned against an holy and a righteous and a merciful God. It's you read in Genesis that the Lord sat there and it repented him that he had made men. It repented him that he had made men. And it is so necessary, congregation. Oh, I was but a young boy, but I never forget that Monday morning when that took place in my life. That the Lord showed me what I was in a state of innocency, what I was in paradise, adored with the image of God. And what I became through sin, so wretched, so condemned, hell worthy, nothing else. If there's the Lord not uphold that sinner, he was sinking in despair, people, really. If it become a reality. And now I will not say that it goes with everyone so deep. Oh, no. I will not say that. The Lord is free, but the principle of it, we have to learn it. And there are two special things, congregation. First, that I have sinned against the Lord. And second, that I am without God in the world. That there was not a one so wretched as I was. And that we think, was I never born? Because we sing in one of our Psalters 462 that His grace is so wide as the ocean. That was one of the lines that I have understood when I came here after some years. And we forget that never. His grace so wide as the ocean. But when the Lord convinced us, then everyone can be converted, except I. And then we go every service to the church, and we take every opportunity to read our old writers, and what there now is ook in our days, to search ourselves. Yeah. It happens in the life of that people because they're so serious. Oh yeah, every day I can die, every moment. And then to appear before the Lord. And then to read in that Rutherford, in that Bunyan. To read in Huntington and to read in so many other van old writers. Whether that people no hope in the way for a wretched one as I am. Yeah. And if it is touched here, people, oh, then we can all kiss it. The words, really. We can kiss it. And then we say, oh, Lord, what a wonder that I can be converted. What a wonder that I can be comforted. And if I can be comforted, then everyone can be comforted. Everyone. Everyone. How far they are from the Lord, and how deep they are taken away. There become reality that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washes and cleanses from all our sins. But I come to a second point now, and that is this: not only my wretchedness, and that I am a condemned sinner and a wretched sinner, but my second point in regard to faith, that is that the Father has glorified his Son Jesus Christ and had set him as a Savior, as a Prince and as a Savior for his people. That he is the one who had merit salvation and who applied salvation. Look unto me, come unto me, and be found in him. I keep the three words this evening. Look unto me, come unto me. And of course, to look unto that Christ, that is a privilege that the Lord gives to his people. Because, and I will emphasize that in this evening, the true conviction of a sinner by the Spirit, that is not to bring us to despair, but to open a door in the valley of Achor, and that we may look unto him who is the Savior of the world. A living Savior, but also an able Savior. And one that can save to the uttermost, said the Apostle Paul. And we have so many examples, people. Very few of Pharisees, very few. But we have so many examples in the Word of God. You think about Rahab, darling. You think about Ruth coming from Moab. You think about Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah. You think about the Manasseh, that the Lord had glorified his grace. Why? And a Mary Magdalene, that the greatest of sinners would receive hope, and that they would say, Lord, can it also be for me? Can it be for me? I am so hard. I am so cold. I am so guilty. I have in my life to struggle. Oh, it's so much, it's so. It is too bad I cannot so much English, you know that. But, oh, forbear it. But in this we have once saam, ik lag gekneld in banden van de dood. I lay there bound. In the beds and the snares of hell. In the claws of the devil, really. And I become all reality, huh? Not here, no. But there come reality in our heart. But now the least revelation that the Lord gives in the gospel for our heart and for our soul, that changed our whole condition. That means not for our whole life, no, but for moments. And in every exercising of true faith, there is assurance. Every exercising of faith. When we talk about faith, then we talk about the habit of it, and the assurance of it. Paul, he said, I know in what I believed. And Job, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. That was a high step in the way of grace that the people had received. But still, the essence of faith is and consists in this, that it is not for all of us, but that also for me, forgiving is of my sins. And the imputation of the righteousness of Christ and the power of his precious blood. And that people that is brought by the fountain, and who is the fountain? That is the heart of the Father. The Father hath found salvation. Found out. The Son, he had merited salvation. And that precious, that ever blessed Spirit, that ever blessed Spirit applies that to our heart, people. Oh, because in that respect, in those points that I mentioned, there am I not active, but passive. And maybe the older ones here cannot well remember that a little. That years ago I say sometime in the congregation that as soon as it comes from one side, from the side of the Lord, then it comes also from two sides. But first it had to come from the side of the Lord. Another thing. God's people, all God's people, concerned and established. All the people that have a desire to believe, really. That is in, that lay at the bottom of the heart. But they have to learn that it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that the Lord have to give it to the soul. And now in the third place there is something else. Now by true faith, united with that Christ, and to partake, to be a partaker of all the benefits which he has merited in a state of his deep humiliation. And even that it is not in possession, that is the church that is aware of the forgiveness of their sins and the right to eternal life. But even in the heart of God's concerned people, it shall be what we sing now together out of 203. 203. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee, to whom my thoughts aspire, and having thee on earth is not that I can yet desire. 203, the first stanza. Congregation, that last point that I mentioned this evening, now the necessity not only to be reconciled with God, but also first of all united with Christ by faith. We have a clear example in the Word of God, in the life of Rebecca. Eliezer, he was sent to that country to seek a wife for Isaac. And there goes all that prayer and supplication. And that Eliezer, when he found that Rebecca, and he was aware by the Lord that that was the right one, he spoke about Abraham. He spoke about Isaac. He opened his treasures. As he gave all kind of presents and jewels to that Rebecca. Laban would ook have presents, but not Isaac. No. No. That is nominal Christians. They will well have the presence, but not the person. But by God's people, that is the person that they need. And how do we come to that personal knowledge for ourselves, people? I tell you that more and more that we come standing alone here in this world. There is a text in Hosea 2 verse 13. Therefore, I will allure you. I will allure you. And then I shall bring you in the wilderness. And there I shall speak to your heart. And now first the Lord allured his people. I hope that I can say it so simple as is possible. Now the Lord, he allured that people with his love poured out in their heart. And when his love is poured out in their heart, what happens then immediately? Then the love to the world and sin that is killed. Congregation, it is a perfect work what the Lord is doing in the heart of his people. Perfect. And if he will talk about conversion and something of the Lord, but our life is in the world and with the world, then we deceive our soul for eternity. The world shall see and confess that it is a seed blessed by the Lord. That is what the Lord said. And our fathers, they say, talk and walk. Talk and walk. And if that do not agree, then it is wrong. Then it is wrong, people. The work of the Lord, that is perfect. Perfect. Is it now necessary? Yeah. When they come with questions in our days, they are coming with questions in our churches too. And then some they say, must we then walk with our head on our breast all the time? Must we then always walk in black? But all those questions are wrong already. They're so wrong, people. Entirely wrong. If the Lord converts us, then he takes away the desire to walk with the world and to live with the world. They come a regret that we have done it so long. And when the Lord comes in our life comes back to us bitter. Cannot be different. And not only that our life comes back to us, but we receive ourselves back. Ourselves. And that's the greatest burden that there is in the world. Really, ourselves. That stubborn character. And that idle character. En dat karakter, dat is zo corrupt. Oh, the catechism said, which I have to struggle my whole life. My whole life. If he could now be retired of it. If he could now be rid of it. Sometimes we think this is buried and that is dead. And at once that arises in our heart and that ruined our soul, that sometime for days that we go to the world quiet. Because 'tis ook not edifying to tell everything people. But God's people that knows it, and the more that we receive from the attributes of God and from the mediatorial work of Christ and the love of the Father, the more bitter that sin shall be in our life. And that we shall say, oh, protect me, preserve me, Lord, day and night, all the time. All the time. And the warnings that we have in the Word of God to walk circumspectly, with fear and with trembling. And if we think little about it, people, then it is in question whether that we ever had received grace in our heart. And I tell you, there is no place in the Lord's Supper when we live in the world and our whole attitude is of the world. No. Stay maar away. Stay away. Stay away. Here is sitting this evening nog een granddaughter van dat old reverend Van Dijk van Sint Flipsland. En het had happened with him that he had once the Lord's Supper. And there was also something in that some people, some woman that came to the Lord's table. But he said it openly in her face that it would be to their condemnation that she would take that bread and drink that wine. He said it is against the word of God. He had not expected that person would come. Otherwise then he had well told her maybe before. But it was a surprise. Oh, congregation. God's people that receive love for the Lord. I love the Lord. With all my heart. With all my heart. But then I hate sin. And I hate the world. And it become a burden to us, a burden. And there are times that they say, oh Lord, I am glad that I am so old. I am glad that it goes to the end. Not that we can die every day, no. Far from it, oh. Far from it. It is the last enemy. But when that people died and they are delivered from self, and delivered from all the burdens and inward burdens more than outwardly burdens. The Lord, he knows that. And that I cannot live to the honor of the Lord. This congregation, the people that the Lord prepared them for that union with Christ and to receive all his benefits. The more presence and jewels that woman received, that Rebecca, the more that she became desiring after that Isaac. And she had never seen him. No. She had never seen the man. And then when the family asked her, maybe you say you told that amor. Oh yeah, forget it. It is always new ook. I think so. Or not. Yeah. But when they ask her to stay nog sometimes, so days, to have nog een partytje van de family en van de nephews en cousins en zo, then they say, ask herself, hey, wat ze wilt. En wat was de answer? Hm? Wat was de answer? I shall go. Ze was zo in de hurry. Oh, ze was zo in de hurry. Because there was only one man with whom that she would be married, and that was Isaac. That was Isaac, yeah. And then later on, oh, then she went with that Eliezer, and there came a man out of the field. Yeah. He had to lay on his knees there, looking to the stars, pleading upon the promises of the Lord. And as he said to Eliezer, what man is it that has come? This was totally ignorant of, right? And as then he said, that is now my master Isaac. And as he fell off from the camel, and she covered herself with that veil, and Isaac picked her up, and he brought her in the house of his mother. Yeah. That is the way. Oh, that is the way, people. Give me Jesus ere I die. And that become a necessity. A necessity. To be reconciled with God, with him. Oh, then they say, Lord, before that I die, all that I receive, that awareness for my own heart, that I am no more alone, but that the Lord is my portion for time and for eternity, and that I am so united with him, so strong united with him, that we are one. As a man and a wife, and as the vine with the branches, one with him. It is almost 9 o'clock, as we shall stop for this evening. It is our only few words, people, but you have heard a little, but is necessary. Examine yourself, prove yourself, that we come as in our inner chamber with us, with ourselves, on our knees, and say it more easy, say it more freely to the Lord. Lord, came to the Lord's Supper without ground. Oh, please, Lord, uncover it to me. Make it known to me. Because now I cannot be comforted. But there is people that goes on and on, all the time. And never coming to myself, never. But that word of this evening may find an entrance into our heart. And that the Lord can accept the, oh, tis well deserved, people, tis deep deserved, but for his great name's sake, for Christ's sake, that he will come in our midst and in our heart, and that he bringeth us to a solution where it never was brought to a solution, and on grounds firm and solid, people, for time and for eternity, my uncomforted fellow travelers. Oh, it is nog stil. Het is nog stil, the day of salvation. Het is nog passable. Het is passable. The thief on the cross was comforted the last day of his life. At the 11th hour, can for you ook nog, old people in my midst, and young people, that the seriousness of it was bound up on your heart and your soul. And be not in the hurry, oh no. Or the Lord have to bring us there. But otherwise be careful that we not eat and drink ourselves to condemnation. And if there is a work of the Lord in our heart, that the Lord bringeth us to light, and then that we receive freedom and liberty, and that it shall be in pledge and assurance for our soul, for that marriage feast in heaven, where no doubt, and where no darkness, and where no trouble, and where no sin, and no unbelief, but where the Lord shall be all and in all, and that forever and ever. Amen. Lord, bless the few words. Sanctify it to our heart. Bring us to our homes and bring us back the next Sabbath in the midst of this congregation, and that we beg of thee day and night that it be in thy divine favor. Lord, we are not worthy the least of thy consideration, but view us with all the needs and wants. In thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, forgive all our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen. Lo, God, my helper, is the Lord, my mighty friend. He shall requite me my enemies, the just destruction sent. Number 147, the first stanza. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.